Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. John's Gospel includes many pictures to help us understand who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Maybe more than any other evangelist, he is the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God, through whom all things were made, and who was God. He is also, in St. John's Gospel, the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the door of the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the vine, and we are the branches. It's the Apostle John who also records the words of St. John the Baptist early in Jesus' ministry. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But how is he like a lamb? Timid, wandering, afraid, dumb. No, he's like a lamb, as the Old Testament Israelites used lambs to take away sin in the sacrifices for atonement, for propitiation, for sin. We learned that on Good Friday, as we saw Jesus, the Lamb of God, on the cross, becoming the sacrificial lamb, the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world. But Jesus is not only pictured as a lamb or as a sheep, because when a lamb is slaughtered, it has no say in the matter. It simply goes to the slaughter, not even knowing where it's going. In fact, they fool the lamb so that it doesn't know where it's going. A lamb doesn't lay down its life for anyone. Its life is taken from it by others. It's purely a victim. Not so with Jesus. In today's gospel, John gives us yet another picture of Jesus. Jesus gives it of himself. He says, "I am the good shepherd." He is the good shepherd who both laid down his life for the sheep and who also took up his life again in order to keep shepherding his sheep for all eternity. "I am the good shepherd," says the Lord. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, he calls himself good here in contrast with the bad shepherd, the hireling, as he's called here in the gospel. The bad shepherd, the hireling, is not the owner of the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's a hired hand who's only out there in the fields tending to the flocks in order to make some money. He's only out there in the fields tending to the flocks as long as it's convenient for him, as long as it's not too much trouble. And at the first sign of danger that could endanger him, he's out of there. He's gone. Leaves the sheep to fend for themselves. He sees the wolf coming, Jesus says, and abandons the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Now, which wolf are we talking about here? There are plenty of things that endanger the sheep, that endanger God's people. Ultimately, though, all of those dangers come from one great wolf, who is the devil. And he has power over people because of sin. Power to accuse them before God, power to hold their guilt over them, power finally to drag them to hell. And no one could be free from his power because no one is without sin. No one is righteous. No, not one, the psalm says. And as Isaiah wrote, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way." You remember when you last heard those words? Well, you do, if you were here on Good Friday. Those are words from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, that prophet who prophesied so many important things about the coming Christ. Why, then, does Isaiah prophesy about Jesus? He prophesies about him so that we would know why he would suffer as a lamb led to the slaughter. Because the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Tie those words to Jesus' words in our gospel. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Willingly, intentionally. In fact, for that very reason, he came into this world and took on human flesh so that he might confront the wolf and lay down his life so that the sheep might be saved. He laid down his life in every way by living and dying, by his life that he lived and by the death that he died. The Son of God took on our flesh and lived among us as both God and man. He devoted his life to serving us by preaching the truth about us as sinners and about him as the one who freely gives the forgiveness of sins to all who trust in him. And finally, he laid down his life as the atoning sacrifice, as the price for our sins, and not only for ours, as John says in his first epistle, but for the sins of the whole world. It's the good shepherd you should envision bloody, dying, and dead on Good Friday. That's what it meant, to see the wolf coming and to stand in the way so that the sheep might not be slaughtered and scattered, so that he might be attacked and killed in their place. He shepherded his people by his life and by his death. Of course, it's the same good shepherd you should also envision risen from the dead, never only dead, never only bloody and dying, but also risen, perfectly healed and alive again on Easter Sunday. Healed, except for those wounds that he chose to retain, the scars or the prints in his hands and in his side and in his feet, as he showed them to Thomas in last week's gospel. Those are the scars of the shepherd from his battle with the wolf. And even as he wants you always to remember his resurrection from the dead, so by keeping those marks, he wants you always to remember Christ crucified for our sins, so that you never look at sin lightly, but always remember the blessed cost of your redemption, the holy, precious blood of your shepherd. Jesus' life on earth and his innocent death and his glorious resurrection are his great shepherding acts, which he has already accomplished and finished. But he isn't done shepherding the sheep. He has more shepherding to do. And yet it was never Jesus' intention to stay on earth in visible form and to shepherd his flock from Jerusalem or from some other location on the earth. And imagine how sad it would have been if he had done that. A shepherd who lived on the other side of the world from where you are, who had only so much time to spend with each one of his sheep. No, the Lord had a different plan for his New Testament church, with a different form of shepherding in mind. Jesus says in our gospel, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." But that bringing of the other sheep into the flock didn't happen, or at least was far from being finished during Jesus' life on this earth. This is the bringing the Good Shepherd does through the shepherds whom he has been sending into the world ever since Easter Sunday, and whom he will continue to send until all the sheep are found who are to be found, until the whole flock is gathered into one holy Catholic, that is Christian and Apostolic Church. So it is Jesus who sends the shepherds. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You all know that the word pastor means shepherd. I have to teach that to my Latin students at school sometimes. Sometimes we have translations from the book that it gives us. The pastor was eaten by the wolf. And I always tell them, change that to shepherd, would you? Don't say the pastor was eaten by the wolf. Say the shepherd was eaten by the wolf. But you know, it's the same word, pastor and shepherd. Every pastor of God's church is placed exactly where the good shepherd wants him to be, in every time and in every place, so that he might preach to men through the humble service of men, so that he might gather his sheep, minister to his sheep, send out his voice to his sheep, forgive the sins of his sheep, and preserve his sheep through that very same preaching and through the administration of the sacraments. So too, it is Jesus who brings the sheep, who went looking for each and every one of you, who brought you to baptism and to faith. I know my sheep, he says, and am known by my own. He knew you from before the foundations of the world were laid, and he knows you still. Even if no one on earth truly knows you, he truly knows you. Who you are, what you need, what you've done, and what you will do. And he also knows all who believe in him as his Spirit calls them through the gospel, even if they don't know him yet. There is still time to know him. The invitation still goes out. The gospel is still being preached. And now, as St. Peter wrote in today's epistle, the Lord calls on each of you to do good to others and to do good for others, just as your good shepherd did, and to be willing to suffer for it too, even as your shepherd was. That means living as the light and the salt of the earth. That means taking this Christian faith seriously, living a life that stands out in the world, that stands out in goodness, that shines with the truth, that honors God's word above all things. You will suffer in this world if you live like that, but then you'll just be walking in the footsteps of your good shepherd, following behind him wherever he goes, first to shame, then to glory. May the voice of the good shepherd ring in your ears again today and every day. You know him. Now follow him. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. He will be with you as you walk even through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will follow you with his goodness and with his mercy all the days of your life until you dwell safely in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.